Would you please take your Bibles and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Lord has just burdened my heart in recent weeks about our responsibility in educating our children. I read just this past week in an article in Christianity Today that the government now educates 93% of all the children in the United States of America. Back in the 70s, it was around 72% because of the number of private schools that were in America, the number of Christian schools that had arisen during that particular time, and now it's down to just 7% private education in the United States. That's an astounding number. I was quite floored when I read that, and I just confirmed in my own heart some of my concerns that are taking place today about the need of educating our children. And I'm taking this idea of Christian education much broader than just a Christian school. I'm talking about homeschooling. I'm talking about Sunday school. I'm talking about education at home, the teaching of our children, that we have moved and shifted away from that. We've pivoted. And we have convinced ourselves that somehow everything's going to turn out all right. I shared with you a poem by Alexander Pope that kind of sums up what's happened today when it comes to this matter of Christian education specifically, but the idea and the concept that, you know, the government can't be wrong. Government education must not be too bad. Everybody's doing it. Well, that's never an excuse, ever an excuse to accept anything. Just because everybody else is doing it does not make it right. We've learned over the years and over the decades and the centuries that there are many people that are doing things that are absolutely wrong. Do I need to remind you about Nazi Germany? With the thousands and millions of people with their hands raised toward a man, calling him basically God. Well, how did that happen? Well, an entire society rallied around an idea, an ideology, and a concept, and they accepted this man as the leader of that. Well, that has been repeated over and over and over again throughout history. Here is the poem by Alexander Pope. Vice is a monster of so frightful mien as to be hated needs but to be seen. Yet seen too often, familiar with her face, we first endure, then pity, then embrace. Now, the poem uses the idea of vice being a monster. Vice are those things that are wrong, that we know are wrong. They are sins that are clearly identified as moral and reprehensible at best. Vice is a monster that is so awful and terrible that to be hated needs but to be seen. All you have to look at it and say, that is despicable, that is horrible. But what happens? What happens? Well, when you see something over a long period of time, you get familiar with it. And its grotesqueness begins to fade. The monstrosity of the image begins to fade in our minds, and it becomes something that we endure to start with. Then we begin to pity it. And then we begin to what? Embrace it. Now that is what has happened today with satanic education. And that's what I'm calling it because it is satanic. I know that there are people all around this country that are good Christians that are in the public school system. I'm sure that there are. I'm not trying to demean them in any way, shape, or form. But what I'm saying is this. The philosophy is not neutral. As I told you, one grandfather I spoke to who came to me and said, you know what? He said, I had my kids in Christian school. My grandkids are now in public school. And I've come to realize that, you know, I really should have put my kids in a more neutral situation. And I almost came off the ground 6 feet when I heard him say that. I said, there's nothing neutral about the public school system. There is nothing neutral about the government school system. It has a purpose, and it is accomplishing its purpose very well. It is probably the most effective government agency, the Department of Education, and all the educational, it's the most effective means of communicating what they want communicated. And it is this: the government is the answer to all of your problems. Now you say, well, I think they're teaching more than that. Oh, I'm sure they are. But what they're teaching is a dependence upon government. Did you watch the images this week? It was a CBS, I guess, reporter who went out and did this for an independent news agency. He was doing it for two different news agencies. And he went to Harvard. And he asked them, he said, asked these questions, says, is America the problem or is ISIS a bigger problem? Is America the bigger problem? And every one of the students interviewed said America was the bigger problem. In the world today, America is the biggest problem. Now, I shake my head, and I know America certainly has its problems. But when you look at the death and destruction that's being reaped in Iraq and Syria, when you watch innocent people beheaded, children beheaded, Christians herded out of towns, is there anything that America is doing as a nation compared to that? But they have been taught. They have been instructed in that regard, and the young people just accept it. They bring it in. All right? They're very accepting of this. And when we believe and come to believe that the government is the answer to all of our problems, in addition to the teaching of evolution, which is a false teaching, in addition to the teaching of all the other things that are false according to our Bible, we look and we say, they have been very effective at what they do. And now we have 93% of the population of America educated within the public school system. Only a small smidget of the population. What does that mean for our future? What does that mean? It means that Christian education will continue to diminish because more and more people will see, well, why should I spend money to have my children educated? Why are churches no longer having Sunday school? I've been appalled as I've read the statistics. It used to be in America that every church had a Sunday school. And the children were taught during those times. But today, if they have a Sunday school, it's playtime. They're outside playing or they're in the gym playing. And there's very little communication of this book to their minds. It's just a time away from mom and dad. We're going to give mom and dad a break and let them go into the sanctuary to their Sunday school classes and whatever. And the kids, we're just going to let them play. And Sunday school doesn't mean much anymore. When Moody developed the Sunday school system in Chicago back in the 1840s and 50s, he was desperately concerned for the children who were not being taught in the public school system of Chicago. They were not being taught the Bible, and so he rounded them up by the thousands, by the way, and would bring them to Sunday school. And Sunday school was a time for them to get the education that they were missing. Where? In the public school. And they would be taught about God. And they would be taught Bible verses to memorize. And they would be instructed about what was right and what was wrong. That was the original intent of the Sunday school movement way back in the 1800s when D.L. Moody was involved, and it began to spread and others began to take up the mantra. Yes, our children are missing something. They are not being taught the Bible, and so we want to bring them to church and we want to see them taught the Word of God. But now very few churches have Sunday schools anymore because very few people show up for Sunday schools anymore. They're not interested in it. They've got other things to do. And so as a result, the knowledge of the Word of God has diminished in our homes, in our nation, the Bible. And so what fills in the void? What fills in the emptiness of not having the truth, not having the knowledge of God? What fills in is worldliness and humanism, the knowledge of self. All right? Rediscovering of self, all right? More about me, that's what I want to hear about. More about me. And we've left the education of ourselves to other entities, and we have left the Word of God. This proverb right here, Proverbs 2, is one of the greatest proverbs of teaching what we need to be teaching in our homes. Notice what this father says to his son. My son, if thou wilt receive my words. Now, there's two people here. There is the son and there is the father. One is the student and the other is the what? The teacher. And so he's speaking to his son and he says, I want you to listen. I want you to receive my words. In other words, we've got to have something to give our children. What are we giving them? Parents, grandparents, what are we giving our children? We spend a lot of time giving them things, giving them technology, giving them all kinds of other substitutional things. But are we giving them ourselves and giving them God's Word? That's the greatest gift. Well, I've got all kinds of financial plans for them to follow in their life. That's the worst gift you can give to them if you're not giving them this right here. Now, I know this isn't popular. I know that churches all across America have substituted all kinds of other things. The books that they teach in Sunday school by all kinds of authors and all the economic type stuff of how you can have a financial future that's secure and all that kind of stuff. But if they don't have a spiritual future that is secure, they will have nothing when they die. Do you understand that? They will have nothing. Because you can take nothing with you except what Christ has given to you, and that's Himself. You will have nothing. They may have aspired to do well in this world. They may have money. They may have material things. They may have a beautiful home. They may have everything you could want, the American dream. But if they don't have what God says they need from this book, they will have missed everything. Everything will have been missed. This father pleads with his son, will you listen to me? Will you receive the things that I want to give you? And one thing that he tells him in this particular passage here is that if you'll listen to what I say, it will keep you from all kinds of trouble. Notice this down here. Verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, what's the result? Verse 11. Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of unrighteousness to walk in the ways of darkness. So what Solomon is sharing with his son, his child, is something that's going to preserve him down life's road, is going to keep him from listening to the wrong kind of people, is going to keep him from going to the wrong kind of places. Now that sounds pretty important, does it not? This teaching is so powerful that it will change and affect the life of his son, whereby he will not go down the wrong paths, he'll stay on the right paths. There's not a parent in here that would say, I want my child to go down the wrong paths. Not a parent or a grandparent here that wants that. But you know what's happening today and what has happened? Is that we have become so enamored with this world that we just get our kids through. Let's just get our kids through and then we're not going to worry about anything else. That's fool's talk. That's fool's talk. Listen, we need to back and support each other and each other's families in the teaching and the training of children. Who's supposed to instruct the younger men? According to the Bible, the older men. Who's supposed to instruct the younger women? According to the Bible, the older women. What are we doing? Are we following the Bible? Are we doing what we ought to do? Listen, I'm going to tell you something. We're reaping in America today our inactivity in following the Word of God. And our churches are not what they ought to be. And we have left our children to be educated by Hollywood, educated by the world, educated by our school systems, and as a result, we will not, now listen to me, we will not have the America for them that we had when we were younger. There's a result. There's a consequence. I grieve for my children. I grieve for my children because I know that they and their children, if God blesses them with that, are going to have a far different America than what I had as a child growing up. Now, I want to tell you something. I grew up in the 60s and the 70s, and those were tough times. But you know, there was still good preachers and good churches that were standing up for what was right. And there were good schools to send your kids to, and colleges to send your kids, but not anymore. Not anymore. It's sad, is it not? I have people all the time, who do you recommend that I send my tell my son to send his grandson to? And I don't know anymore. I just don't know. I would hate to recommend to you one and then you come back later and say, I've lost my grandson. I just can't get excited about that anymore. Because there's so many weaknesses today that have got. Why? Because we left this book. We left this book. And I'm not talking about necessarily the saying of the words of this book. Because there are a lot of people that are quoting Bible verses today. A lot of people saying Bible verses. We're talking about the life of the book. We're talking about living the book. Not saying the book, but living the book. Now the first principle of education, Christian education, that you and I are responsible for in our children and our grandchildren. I'm talking to grandparents here. Don't wash your hands and say, well, they're just going to do what they're going to do. You need to use every fiber of your being to stand for what's right. Do I hear an amen? Every fiber of your being. I talked to a grandfather. I mentioned this last Sunday. A grandfather who came up to me and said, I want to shake your hand. I want to thank you for Santa Rosa Christian School. And I said, don't thank me, thank God. Thank God that we had a man that had a vision for Christian education in this county, Dr. Dayton Hobbs. And I began to tell a little bit about the story. And he said, listen, it's a comfort to me to know that my children will be backed up in our belief system. What we believe from the Bible is not going to be torn down by the school. But do you know that there are quote-unquote Christians all across America that don't even have that kind of discernment? Don't have that kind of thing. They say, well, there's nothing wrong. Nothing wrong with the school system. Are you blind? Are you completely blind to not see the trouble and the difficulty and the problems and the philosophy and the humanism and the evolution? What product does it produce down the road? What product? So, well, some people say, well, look at me. I went to a public school. All right? Maybe you went to a public school. I don't want to down you individually. But what could you have been? What could you have been? You ever thought about that? I've had people that have come up to me and said, if I'd have just had a teacher like my son or my grandson has that is teaching the proper way to read, I would be a different person today. I've had that conversation so many times. I've embarrassed myself on several occasions when I've handed out papers to someone. I said, would you please read this? And I've had them come. I'm talking about adults that have come back to me and said, I don't know how to read. Now, how does that happen in America that you don't know how to read after you've gone to school for 12 years? How is that? How is it that in our county, which is number two in the state, by the way, in educational standards, that we have an illiteracy rate at our local public high school of almost 23% of the graduating class do not know how to read? How is that? That we're graduating people and handing them a diploma and saying, this diploma means you're a high school graduate and they cannot read. Something's happened. Why was education started in America? And what did they use to teach reading? This book, the Holy Word of God. Parents were concerned. I want my girls. Girls weren't taught to read in England. Did you know that? They didn't bother to teach them. Just the boys were taught. We'll keep the women dumb and stupid. Everywhere the Bible has gone, it has elevated women. It has elevated women. And they said, we want to teach young ladies how to read. so they can learn to read the Bible for themselves. Let me tell you something. These first principles are important, and we've left them today. Where did we start? Well, we left the fear of God, number one. We left the fear of God. What is the basis of education according to the Bible? Wisdom, the imparting of wisdom, and the gaining of understanding. Notice, please. Let's begin reading at verse 5. Then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. When do I understand? When I receive, incline mine ear, and apply my heart. Then I begin to understand the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of what? Bible, two things in the book of Proverbs, wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom and knowledge. How do I gain that? I first of all have to fear God. You want to know why we're where we are today? Of ignorance. Just plain old-fashioned ignorance. We don't know things anymore. We don't understand. You know, you put up a picture of the Vice President of the United States, and most people in college don't know who in the world he is. It's a sad thing. They show this all the time, where they'll go to a college campus and say, who is this person? They'll look at it, and they'll stare at it for a little while. Theodore Roosevelt? No. That's the Vice President of the United States. Oh. I mean, just completely clear. Why? Well, I'm not concerned about those kind of things. I just want to play. Just give me more time to play. Listen, play is killing America. And play is killing our churches. We're playing instead of learning His Word. We've got all kinds of time to play, and yet no time for this precious book. We take vacations away from the book. Long periods of time. We don't open the Bible. We don't study the Bible. And we think we can make it all right. There won't be any consequences for me not reading my Bible. There are everyday consequences that come your way from not reading this book. This book is life. This book is life. It tells you of eternal life. It tells you how to live life. And yet we foolishly ignore the Word of God. And so the fear of God is gone. Number two, verse 6 says, for the Lord giveth wisdom. Who do you think today gives wisdom? What are the children taught in government schools? Well, it's the government that gives us wisdom. It's the government. This same thing has been repeated over and over and over again throughout history. How did Adolf Hitler come to where he was able to come as an ignorant German? He was ignorant. And yet he became the Führer, the father of all the Germans. And all the little children were taught all the way through to Hail Hitler. How did they get to that place? They were taught that. The government is the answer. The government. And the government will exterminate all those who threaten us and our nation. And they were taught from the time, and they were inspected. We went to the Holocaust Museum, and just unbelievable the things that we saw there. And how they taught the children, and how they would measure their heads to see if they were legitimately from the Aryan race. Measuring their heads and their ears and looking at the color of their eye and the color of their hair. And if they were not according to the specs on that, they were not part of the German heritage. You can imagine that kind of nonsense. Let's put it how they eliminated all the other races and stuff for that because they wanted to purify the holy race. It comes through ignorance. You make people ignorant and then you fill their minds with whatever you want to fill them and they'll, like a sponge, they'll just soak it in. Let me tell you something, folks. The Lord giveth wisdom. He is the source of our wisdom. Stop running to the world and start running to the Bible. You've got a problem in your family, run to the Bible. Run to the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop running to everything other than that. Our minds are so saturated with this world, the first thing we do is we got to run to a psychologist or run to a psychiatrist or we got to run to this doctor or that doctor. Let me tell you something. Why don't you run into the arms of the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, obviously, there is a serious physical problem. you need to go see the doctor. I'm not talking about foolishness here. I'm talking about whenever we allow ourselves to be pulled aside from the Word of God. You know what will solve your family problems? Get into the Word of God. Get into the Word of God. I'm so tired of hearing people say, well, we do study the Bible and we still have these problems. No, you're not. No, you're not. You're not letting the living Word of God change your heart. That's why you're just as mean and nasty as you can be. It's because the Word of God hasn't changed your heart yet. Don't talk about how much you love Jesus when you've got dirt in your heart and filth in your heart. Listen, the source of wisdom is God. He always has been and He always will be. But you've got to go to Him and receive that wisdom. That's the second principle of Christian education, is the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. That's the basis of Christian education and Sunday school and homeschools that are operated by Christians. Is this first principle, that the Lord giveth wisdom. Thirdly, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. You ever heard of a layaway? When I was a child, there were a few times that I put things on layaway, in my mom's name, obviously. I remember we used to go down to McCrory's, and we would lay away our Christmas gifts for each other. And we paid it off on time, you know. Pay off a dollar over 4 months, you know. But that's what we did back in those days. And I remember the time when my mom would take us and we would go down to McCrory's to pick up that we paid our final payment and we got to bring home those gifts to wrap them so we could put them under the Christmas tree. Lay away. You know what God has done for you? He's so wonderful. Through His Son, Jesus Christ, He has laid away wisdom for you. And the wonderful thing is, it's already paid for through Jesus Christ. And what you've got to do is get down there and get it. You got to want it. God doesn't just bring deliveries to your house every day. Okay, like a milkman. Or like the newspaper delivery guy. Well, here's your wisdom for today. I hope you use it. Bye-bye. I'll see you tomorrow. That's not how it works. You've got to want it. You've got to go after it. It's like we told our soccer players yesterday, if you want this victory, you've got to go after it. It's not going to be handed to you on a silver platter. You're going to have to go out and you're going to have to play in this heat, and you're going to have to go out and want every play. And you know what they did? They went out there and did that yesterday. It was hard. They were sick. Some of them were throwing up from the heat. Some of them weren't feeling too well, but they fought through it and they got the victory. And that's what you have to do in the Christian life. The Christian life is not a play thing. We just play at being a Christian. Are you having fun being a Christian? I'm having wonderful fun. You don't know anything about being a Christian. The Christian life is a daily grind. Oh, I don't want that then. I want to play. Welcome to the world. Because that's what the world wants. The Christian life is walking with the Lord, and God supplies the joy and the peace and the grace, but it's not an easy life, is it? It's not an easy life. And you've got to understand that. This third principle here, He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. Well, why do they need wisdom? Why would God lay up wisdom for us? Why do we need it? Because we lack it. Do I hear an amen? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, He's prepared. He's laid up wisdom for you and for me. Why? Because we don't have it. You've got to come to that place and realize, I just don't have that wisdom. And so I've got to go to God to get it, if I'm going to have it. Second part of that verse 7. He is a buckler to them that walk upright. That buckler, that idea of the shield. The shield, the protection. He is the protection to them that walk uprightly. That's the blessing that comes. Oh, it's not easy to walk the Christian walk. But when you walk the Christian walk with God as your buckler, guess what? You're protected. You're blessed. You see what's being missed out on today because we've left Christian education? The education of the heart and mind of the Christian. Number 4, I want you to skip down to verse 9. This fourth principle of education. Then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. Think about what He's promising here. He is promising you that He will bring you down every good path. But what has to come before? You have to go back to verses 1 through 4. Receive my words, hide my commandments with thee, incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart unto understanding, cry after knowledge, verse 3, lift up thy voice for understanding, seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasure. You got to want it. You got to want it. And God says, if you want it, I'll give it to you. And not only that, I will give you understanding, the ability to understand what God is doing and what God desires from me. I will not only give you understanding, but I will give you the understanding of righteousness, what is right. I'll help you to know what's right and what's wrong. Isn't that a comforting thing? To be able to have sirens go off and say, whoa, that's wrong. I'm not going to go down that pathway. Do you know that's missing, I'm afraid, today in our young people? There's no stoplights, there's no caution lights in front of them anymore because there's no knowledge of God. There's no wisdom to draw upon. And so they foolishly go down paths of unrighteousness, which God said He would preserve you from if you what? If you feared Him and you came to Him for wisdom and understanding. I'll take care of you. I will lead you down every good path, He says. I will teach you judgment and equity. You know, equity is the ability to be able to judge righteous judgment, to be able to give out chastisement that's meet to the crime, so to speak. Wisdom. You know, some things that happen in life can be, I can remember one time we had lined the field wrong way back in the day. This was during the T-Ball World Series, and you didn't do that during the T-Ball World Series. We had the boxes backwards. All right? Now, there's a right way and a wrong way to put the boxes on a T-ball field or a baseball field. Any of you that's been involved with any kind of sports, you know that. And we'd put them on wrong. And somebody complained about it. And I said, oh, no. That's all I could think. If Dr. Hobbs finds out about it, we're dead. Okay? Somebody went and got him, and he came over and said, y'all go fix that box. And I was waiting. You know, you get waiting for that. And he said, just go fix the box. We got to get the games going. And I ran out, we brushed off the box and we put the boxes on, marked them out and chalked them all up and whatever. And I went back to Dr. Hobbs and I said, Dr. Hobbs, I apologize. We put the boxes wrong. He said, you know what? You boys have been working so hard during this tournament. You've been up here late at night. You've been up here early in the morning. And said, I appreciate what you were doing. And you know, I make mistakes. You know what that meant to a boy to hear that encouragement? You know, I was waiting for it. You know, I did it wrong. But he encouraged me at that moment. And I appreciated that. There was no excuse for getting the boxes wrong. But you know, it had been a very busy time and we were just in a big hurry and we did it wrong. But he understood. And isn't it wonderful to know that we have a God that understands? He knoweth our what? Our frame. I constantly remind myself of that. He knoweth our frame. He knows how weak we are. He knows how insufficient we are. He knows that we just don't have what it takes because of our sin nature. But God reaches out in love. I want to give you the fifth principle here. Verses 10 and 11. I'll leave you with these. When wisdom. All right, we've got a timing issue here. All right? Timing. We've done everything before. We have received His words. We have hid His commandments. We've inclined our ear. We have applied our heart to understanding. We've cried after knowledge. We've lifted up our voice for understanding. We have sought her as silver and searched for her as hid treasures, as the first four verses say. Now, what's the promise here in this education process? Verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Discretion will preserve thee. What a picture here. The ability that will come because of that wisdom that God gives, that education process where we learn to go to God first and always, That process of learning that He alone has wisdom to give to me, that I can put to practice in my life, what is the result of that? Well, the result is I now have discretion that will preserve my life. Oh, at the lives of people that are snuffed out at an early age. Snuffed out because of drunkenness. Snuffed out because of drugs. Snuffed out because of foolishness that causes them to do dangerous things that in their life they could have been preserved if they had what? God's wisdom. Think about that. The preserving power of God manifested through the receiving of His wisdom. That means you've got to have a heart that desires it. You've got to want it more than anything else to have God's wisdom, to have God's knowledge. And that means I have to fear Him and that I have to run to Him because He's the only source of wisdom. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Picture understanding like a dad. Yesterday, out here at the soccer field, we had our campus was just full of people. And I was coming around. I had gone up to the building to pick up some more things for the cookout that we were doing. And I was coming back around, and there was this little boy. I saw him as I was coming around, so I slowed down. This is this little boy, and he just starts walking out into the middle of the dirt road. And all of a sudden, I didn't see the dad there, but out from there, he was down crouched tying his shoes out in front of his truck. And he just stood up, and he leaned over, and he grabbed his hand and pulled him back. Brought him over, set him on his knee, and I watched him as I went around. He was instructing the child on not walking out into the road. Telling him basically, you stay with Dad. You don't walk out here by yourself. This is a danger. There are cars and vehicles here. You stay with Dad and you will be what? Safe. That's the picture. When you have God's wisdom, young person, are you listening? When you have God's wisdom and you have God's knowledge indwelling your heart, because you have applied your heart to know it. You have sought it like it was silver and great treasures. It will be like understanding beside you. That when you're prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Understanding reaches out and grabs you by the hand and pulls you back over and says, don't go that way. That's what Christian education is about. I'm talking about it in the broadest sense. Now, I'm not talking about Santa Rosa Christian School alone. I'm talking about Christian education, where you are educated in the Word of God every day. That wisdom and that knowledge will preserve you and will keep you. It will take you by the hand and pull you back when you're about to go down the wrong road and say, you stay with me. That's the wrong pathway. And there are people in our churches and maybe even in this church that don't have understanding standing beside them. Because they haven't educated themselves. They don't fear God. Haven't educated yourself in the Word of God. And as a result, there's no one standing beside you to guide you and to keep you and to preserve you. How sad. As parents and as grandparents, education never ends. Just because your kids graduate from school doesn't mean it's all over with now. We can go play now. No, not at all. The Bible has told us in Titus chapter 1, that the role of parents, the older men, are to teach the younger men. The role of the older women is to teach the younger women. To teach them what? All the things that God wants them to know. How to have a happy home. How to live right before God. How to be blameless. How to be pure. Those are the things that are taught. That's the Christian education. Don't wash your hands of Christian education. It's lifelong. It's lifelong. Every child that passes through our door to come into Grace Bible Church or goes down and darkens the door of a Sunday school classroom or walks through a door to come to our Christian school or comes into your house, maybe a neighbor child, you use that opportunity to instill the fear of the Lord and to instruct them in knowledge. There's a young man, he's just a few years younger than I am, that grew up in a trailer park across from our house. My mom and dad became his surrogate mom and dad. I spoke to him back about 2 years ago. He lives over in Pace. And he said, Todd, I just want you to know that your mom and dad were instrumental in my life. He used to come to Saturday Children's Bible Club, things that my mom would hold. And he learned about the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a lay pastor now over in Pace. But he said, your mom and dad taught me right from wrong. Listening to them get on to you and get on to Roger and get on to Missy and the things they got on to me about. Whenever he came to our yard, my mom and dad had a rule. When you walked inside our fence, you followed the Brainerd rules. You weren't allowed to break them. And if you broke them, that was the last time you came into. You got things right. Yeah. I sat up in many a tree with neighbor kids. Man, your mom and dad are tough. I said, yeah, they're tough. Yeah. It was Christian. I didn't know it. It was Christian education that was going on. And the neighbor kids were getting some of it too. How about your neighbor kids? Are you doling out some Christian education? I don't want to be bothered. I don't have time for that kind of stuff. Then you don't have time for God. Because that's what God said for you to do. Are we following the Word of God? We say we're Bible believers. But do we practice what the Word says? Father in heaven, I pray that you'd stir us up. We live in such a carefree, lackadaisical society that it's crept its way into our churches and it's caused us to think differently about things than we used to think. It's caused us to change our minds about the Bible and what it teaches. And we become inactive in our role when we ought to be active. We ought to be teaching and instructing and sharing the Word of God every opportunity we get, but we spend all of our time playing. We spend our time doing what we want to do instead of doing what you want us to do. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts. Lord, all of us in this regard need to be encouraged and admonished. Lord, every opportunity in the workplace needs to be taken and used for your glory. Christian education is much broader than just a Christian school. It's much broader than Sunday school. It's much broader than a home school. It involves the education of those around us, and we are watching our country implode because we have failed to do our job to share with the next generation what the Bible has to say. And we've grown silent. I pray that you would stir us up this morning. We need to once again pick up the mantle of Christian education, so much broader and so much bigger than what we've come to think. It's the education of people according to the Word of God. And I pray that we might teach folks once again that we need to fear God and that He is the only source of wisdom and knowledge. And that through that we might gain understanding and wisdom to live the life that will keep us on good paths instead of going down wrong paths. Father, I pray that you would instruct us today and encourage us to be the right kind of people in our community, in the Milton community, Pea Ridge, Pace, Baghdad, wherever we live. Father, that we would be light and salt for Thee. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.